presenters and any of the fishermen that are signed in and listening. So, yeah, we might as well take it away. Again, appreciate it, Alex. Anything from you, Charlotte?
Nothing really here. I might do a few updates at the very end of the meeting, but I think we're good to go.
Great. I guess then one thing that I would recommend is for the folks who are tuned into Zoom, maybe if you could use your raise hand feature, then we can try to call on you. And the folks on the phone, I'm actually not certain with Zoom how to unmute yourself. So, Charlotte, are you familiar with that process with Zoom?
I think it's just the same star six, unless it, you know, people are actually muted using the mute button on their iPhones, but it should be just a star six to unmute.
Fantastic. So folks on the phone, if you want to interrupt at any time, feel free to do so by hitting star six and double check that your cell phones are not muted simultaneously. So with that, I will go ahead and say welcome, everybody. Thanks for participating in the meeting. Hopefully you all find this useful. And do we have Captain Dave Schaefer on the horn for the U.S. Coast Guard?
Yeah, good morning, Alex. This is Dave Schaefer with the Coast Guard Commercial Fish and Vessel Safety.
Great. Thank you very much. Please go right ahead.
Okay, good morning to everybody who's tuned in. I just wanted to let you know that, as usual, our Coast Guard team is planning to head down to the Eastern Aleutians right around the first week of June. We try to always send a team down to Sandpoint. We try to get a team to King Cove, and then we try to split between getting somebody maybe to Port Moeller and or Chignik based on the feedback I get. It seems like there's not as many boats in Port Moeller anymore, so we're trying to see if our bang is worth the buck. But for planning purposes, we're planning to be down there the first week of June, kind of anticipating maybe a June 10th to June 14th opener down there. So we want to get down there in advance of that opener. And then our teams need to load up and just turn around and get back so we can head up to Bristol Bay. But it'll be operations normal. I'm going to try to send some email information that hopefully you can put on the EAB webpage just to make sure everyone's got my contact number. And I can probably, hopefully, just after the new year, have more specific dates. I think we were looking at the 1st through the 8th or the 2nd through the 9th. Most of the fishermen down there are familiar with the requirements for the dockside exams. Obviously, those people who are in other fisheries carrying observers, it's really important. There's no new regulations that you guys need to be aware of at this point in time. So just remember those decals are valid for 2 years from when you last got the decal. And just as a reminder, if there's been a change in the ownership of the vessel, then we ask, or actually you're required to get another dockside exam. But other than that, I'll open it up for some questions, and I'll just make sure that after the meeting, I'll make sure that my phone number, my cell number, and my email address are somehow put up on the EAB webpage. But does anybody have any questions for me at the Coast Guard?
I see a hand from Ernie.
Yeah, Dave, go ahead and send that. Any and all the presenters, if you've got information you want to put on the aebfish.org webpage, please send it to me and we'll post it for everybody to see. Thanks.
All right, Ernie, that sounds great. I'll make sure that I get that contact information. And I'll try to, like I said, I'll try to have some more specific dates for planning purposes. I know a lot of the fishermen are out of town and just are just getting into town to get their boats ready before that opener. But other than that, anybody else have any questions? I'm going to have to drop off the call here in a few minutes. I'm actually getting ready to run into the airport to get through security so I can make a flight. But if there's any follow-up questions that you guys can think of later, like I said, you guys can always give me a call or email later.
Anybody on the phone trying to ask any questions, please attempt star six. Okay. It looks, I don't see anything. So thank you very much, Captain Schaefer. Very much appreciate you attending and helping us out. Thank you. Next on the agenda, it looks like we have an update from Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I believe Nat Nichols is planning to provide an update for that.
Yeah, good morning, Alex. Can you hear me?
I hear you perfectly. Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, good morning. Thanks again for putting this together. Happy to just take this opportunity to chat with everyone real quick. My name is Nat Nichols. I'm the area manager for commercial shellfish and brownfish, Kodiak, Chinook, South Penn. I'm going to have a real quick update for you here this year. The thing that's coming up first for everyone as far as state fisheries goes is going to be tanner season. So that's January 15. Quotas are about half of last year. Total quota for South Bend is 480,000 pounds, 480. I think all the processors have tag sets available already and registration packets, information packets. But certainly if anyone needs any help or has questions about that, please don't hesitate to call us here at the Kodiak office. That's 486-1840. And then a lot of the survey information and fishery management plan information is also on the website, and I can help direct people to that. There have been no regulation changes since last year, so this is just going to be very similar to last year. 20-pot limit, January 15, weather delays still in effect. So very similar to last year. We had awesome reporting from the fleet last year during tanner season. I really would like to applaud everyone listening that helped with that, because it was fantastic and it helps us do our job. So thank you for that, and I'd appreciate it if we can do that again this coming season. WhatsApp's working great for us. I know the Starlink's been great for helping with communication and all that. But thank you for all that. Cod season's going to come up after that. I have quotas for the state season. We'll have tags available, shortly thereafter after tanner season. If anybody has questions about those fisheries, feel free to just call the office here, and we'll set you up with all the materials and stuff that we have at our disposal, and help get you squared away as much as possible. I think most of the people on the call are fairly familiar with us and calling our office, but just please don't hesitate. That is what we're here for. We're here to help. So 486-1840 with any questions about state shellfish or groundfish fisheries. I'll keep it short. I don't have much else prepared for you. Like I said, no regulatory changes this year, so pretty straightforward. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them now, or again, people can just call the office if they want to chat offline. I will add too, we'll have our dockside samplers out there for tanner season. You'll see them. Please, you guys are always really good working with them. Please, cooperate with them as much as possible. They're just trying to get their measurements and get their interviews. So if you see them, we'll have the same crew out there. So you should see some familiar faces. If there's any questions, I'm happy to take them.
We'll pause, give it a moment here and see if anybody on the phone wants to unmute star six. Great. Well, Nat, thank you very much for providing that update. And
yes, sure.
I hear somebody.
We're on.
Oh, great. You guys got on. Sorry, Alex. That was just our Sandpoint office. They've been trying to connect this whole time. We were having some technical issues. So I know we had some fishermen, I think, join in from Sandpoint. So thanks, Beverly. I think you're probably good to continue, Alex.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Nat. Appreciate it. And next on the agenda, it looks like we have an update from the Observer Program. Glenn Campbell, are you on the line? Oh, sorry, I skipped. I do apologize. Sustainable Fisheries, I think we have Krista on, and then potentially we might hear from Joel Kraske as well. So Krista Milani, sorry for trying to jump out of order. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Read you great.
Okay, great. Yep. So as Alex said, my name is Krista Milani. I'm part of the in-season management team for the region. I have a couple of reminders, and then I'm going to go through the tax for this upcoming cod season and pollock. So just as a reminder, so every year I say this, but I don't think we can say it enough. Please remember to check your statistical areas, your start dates on your fish tickets. If you're EM, please make sure that your fish ticket reflects that accurately. That saves a lot of headache for everyone in the future, and it ensures that the catch is getting accounted for correctly. It's really important. So please double check all those things. Also, I just want to remind folks that rockfish in the Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands, and the Gulf of Alaska is under full retention for any vessels using hook and line, cot, or jig gear, any catcher vessels. So even if that species is on prohib status, you still have to bring that into the dock. That's been in place since 2020. I also wanted to remind folks that you're required to use a NIMS logbook if you use longline pot gear for halibut or sablefish, even if you're under 60 feet. That's been in place since 2017. But I just wanted to remind everyone again that you are required to do that. You should maintain that logbook for the entire year. There was a slight change in the regulations for that, in that you can now use the same logbook if you're using longline and pot gear instead of having two separate logbooks. So just ensure that there's a separate page for each gear type. I'm going to go through the tax. I want to remind everyone that, you know, the tax are not final until they clear the federal registrar. And usually that doesn't happen until February or March. But the tax I'm going to go through are the ones that were recommended by the council. We will have a tax adjustment out before the end of the year. However, that also will be slightly different than what you see in the harvest specifications due to a change in the percentage that the jig sector is going to get in the 2024 season. All PCOD tax have increased this year in all areas. So let me just go through the Western Gulf. So the Western Gulf, there's about a 40% increase from last year. For jig, there's 129 metric tons available for the A season. They did get an increase from a 2.5% of the allocation to 3.5% of the allocation for 2024. Hook and line catcher vessels, they're going to have 41 metric tons, and that will be closed to directed fishing. We need all of that for incidental catch in the IFQ fisheries. Halibut or hook and line catcher processor, there's 644 metric tons in the A season. Trawl catcher vessels, there's 1,863 metric tons available, and there's the 3,060 Chinook salmon limit for the central western Gulf of Alaska non-pollock, non-rockfish CV sector. We do plan on that fishery opening up by regulation on January 20th. We have not yet decided if we will have a pre-announced closure for that fishery. We'll make that decision as we get closer to the fishery and we have a better idea on what the participation is going to look like. Trawl catcher processors are going to have 53 metric tons. That's also close to directed fishing. Pot fishery will have 1,170 metric tons. I will note that the B season is still open. So if folks are inclined to start in December and fish off of the 2023 B season, they're more than welcome to do that. The crab sideboard pot limit for the A season is 389 metric tons. Moving on to 610 pollock. 610 pollock A season is 5,422 metric tons. The Chinook limit is the 6,684 Chinook. We do plan on opening that fishery, or that fishery will open by regulation on January 20th, and we plan on letting that fishery open at that time. And the same situation as a Pacific cod trawl catcher vessel, we'll decide on whether or not we're going to have a pre-announced closure to that fishery, depending on what the participation is going to look like once we get closer to January 20th. Moving on just to the Bering Sea Aleutian Islands, the tax are up in that area too by about 13%. I'm sure everyone is aware that catcher vessel trawl Pacific cod has moved to the PCTC program, which is a cooperative program. That'll be in place for 2024. And along with that came some changes to the AFA sideboards in the Gulf. And if anybody has any interest or questions about that, please contact us after the meeting and we can let you know what those look like. And then, sorry, hang on, let me find where I'm at here. Oh, jig. So jig in the Bering Sea Aleutian Islands, the A season is 1,169 metric tons. We are encouraging folks, if they are planning on, or if they have interest in fishing jig in the Bering Sea Aleutian Islands, to let us know as early as possible, because historically we have reallocated that to the under 60 fleet, and we won't do that if we know jig vessels are planning or interested in coming up in the A season. And then under 60 pot, hook, and line is 2,770 metric tons. However, we will likely reallocate some from jig once we hear about jig participation. Over 60 pot, 5,933 metric tons. And that's all I have as far as the tax. And I would like to pause and see if anybody else from the region has anything to add to everything I went through. And then we can take some questions. Go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I'm here. We heard that you might hear from Joel Kraske related to the Trawl EM program. Joel is otherwise busy working on the said Trawl EM regulation package, and we are very close to getting to the point where we will be publishing the proposed regulations for that. We're in final reviews. So I just wanted to give an update on where we're at with Trawl EM. Questions related to the Trawl EM program, Charlotte is still your point of contact related to that. We are anticipating the A season pollock fishery. If you do not have your VMP already approved, you should be looking to get that done. I think most people have already gotten theirs done, ready for the beginning of January. And we're looking forward to another great year on a very successful program and look for the regulations probably sometime in late January. We will be doing public meetings. We will be doing a public meeting at the Seattle Council meeting for Washington residents. Anybody can join any of these meetings. We will also be doing a public meeting in Kodiak. And we will be doing an online option meeting as well. Those dates and times will be published in the proposed rule. So that's another opportunity for you to ask any questions related to the implemented program. And we are on track for implementation in January of 2025.
Thanks, Josh. Alex, I think that's all we have. If there's questions, we're happy to take them.
Fantastic. Feel free to raise your hand or press star six to unmute if you're on the telephone. I see none. Thank you very much, Krista, and thank you, Josh, for providing those updates. And now we have an update from Glenn Campbell with the Observer Program.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you.
Okay. So Glenn Campbell with the NIMS Observer Program down in Seattle. So I'm going to go over mostly odds related stuff for logging trips. So we'll go over the changes for 2024 for the selection rate, some new questions we're going to ask when logging trips. And then I'll just do some updates and reminders. So before I get into 2024, I want to remind everyone on the phone and anyone who's can help me out here, please remember to go into odds and close out or cancel any trips you didn't use from 2023. So I call this odds trip maintenance. So you can either do this yourself through odds or you can call the call center, but make sure you go in and deal with all your trips from 2023 that you either used or didn't use, and deal with those either by closing them or canceling them. Trips that that you logged for 2023 cannot be used in 2024. Trips cannot carry over. So just remember that. So just a reminder, always keep kind of a update of remember what's going on in odds in your trips and stay connected to your trips and close them out or cancel them if you didn't use them. That's always important. All right, let's move into 2024. So the big change for 2024, and this is all in the annual deployment plan that was presented and approved by the council that everyone has access to, is there are two major changes that you need to be aware of. Number one, when you go to log a trip, we are now going to also ask, where are you fishing? Basically, are you fishing? You're going to be asked, are you going to be fishing in the GOA or are you going to be fishing in the Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands? So that will be a question that it will be asked along with when are you leaving, where are you leaving from? So we call this FMP area. Basically, are you fishing in the Bering Sea or Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands, or the Gulf of Alaska? So these will be a new question you're asked when logging a trip for 2024. And the reason we're asking this is that we have different rates for these two different areas. The other big change for those who fish with fixed gear, whether it's pots or with hooks. I know you guys like to use the term long line. I just think if you're fishing with hooks or you're fishing with pots, you're fishing with fixed gear. When you go to log a pot or hook trip, we basically just call it now fixed gear. And so we just group the two together. So just be aware of that we just call it fixed gear now. So when you go to log that trip. So let me go over the 2024 rates, selection rates for 2024. So first, let's go over non-EM. This is non-EM. So if you're using trawl gear in the Gulf of Alaska, it's a 21% selection rate. So that's trawl gear in the GOA, non-EM. For the Bering Sea, non-EM trawl, non-EM Bering Sea, it's 72% selection rate. Let's go to fixed gear. So these are pots or vessels fishing with pots or vessels fishing with hooks. For non-EM fixed gear, the GOA is 13% selection rate, and non-EM fixed gear Bering Sea, non-EM fixed gear Bering Sea, is a 44% selection rate. So those are our non-EM trawl and non-EM fixed gear. And then for let's talk about EM fixed gear. So these are our vessels that have cameras that are fishing with pots or vessels with cameras that are fishing with hooks. So EM fixed gear in the GOA is 24%. So EM fixed gear in the GOA is 24%, and EM fixed gear in the Bering Sea is at 74%. And then for EM EFP trawl, for those that are doing trawl EM, it's It's always 100%. Your cameras are always on. Bering Sea, you don't have to log those trips. In Goa, when you log those trips, it's 100% selection. So nothing's changed there. So we essentially have 7 rates, depending on if you're the Bering Sea or Gulf of Alaska, or if you're fishing trawl or fixed gear. And another important reminder, and I'm not sure if this has already been covered or if OLE is going to cover this. So there's, remember about when logging a trip to a tender. All right, so let's talk about logging a trip and you're going to be offloading to a tender. If you're an EM fixed gear vessel, if you're a pot vessel or a hook vessel, and you're in the EM side, that trip ends when you offload at the tender. So you have to log a new trip. Every trip can end when you offload at a tender or if you offload at the dock, shoreside dock. So remember that's different. When that EM fixed gear trips offloads at a tender, you need to log a new trip. Okay. So for non-EM, if you deliver to a tender, you may have to log a new trip. And this is where we get into this concept, depending on where the tender is at. Is it within what we call a boundary? Is it close to a port where you could easily sail in to pick up or drop off an observer? So just because you're offloading to a tender and you're non-EM doesn't mean you don't have to log a new trip. You understand? Need to know the rules of a boundary and what is not a boundary. In some cases, you may have to log a new trip because we have some tenders that are actually sitting in a bay and it's like a 5-minute steam to the dock. So that trip would end if you offload at a tender. So remember that's an important distinction, this concept of a boundary and when to log a trip or a new trip when offloading is a tender. So that's an important highlight that we made a couple of years ago. And we sent out a memo to all users. That's something that sometimes people forget about, especially with non-EM. AIS is still your observer provider. I'm sure they're going to chime in at some point. So none of that has changed. That's all I really have from the observer program in Seattle, Alex. I guess at this point, if anybody else wants to chime in about the observer program, or I could take questions now, Alex, up to you.
Let's go ahead with questions. And we do have the observer providers on the line, it looks like, and they will chime in next. So any questions for Glenn with respect to ODS observer program technical issues?
Yeah, this is Ben Lay. I didn't catch what he said about the boundary area about a bay. Did you say a bay, just any bay would be classified as ending your trip?
Yeah, so Ben, I'm going to leave that to Alex and enforcement to answer the question because what a boundary is they have more of an understanding. Basically, if a tender is close enough to a dock, and what is close, that's the boundary, that the vessel could easily steam a little bit to either drop the observer off or pick the observer off. It's under what we call the concept of reasonable assistance. The boat could reasonably do a quick steam and drop. So it just depends on where the tender is actually out at and how close within the boundary is. So I'm going to leave that more for Alex to answer and other OLE agents to answer. But that's
I understand that. Okay. I was thinking, and that's a proximity to town, and we're not really willing to push that. I mean, we know when it's close enough that but I thought you meant like just any bay essentially.
No, it just obviously, and you, it has to be near a port where, you know, planes are coming in and stuff like that. So if you have questions and you're not sure if a trip would end at a certain tender, you can always call OLE and you can get their take on it. They're always a good reference point, your local OLE agent as well. And then the one last thing is don't forget, if people are ever have any issues with their odds account, you know, their password expired, you can't get in, something's wrong, you need help from a technical standpoint, and the call center can't provide you with the help, please utilize the email address odds.help@noaa.gov. odds.help@noaa.gov. That's a great resource when you're dealing with odds accounts and if you get into technical issues. So please utilize that. Okay, Alex, we can go back to questions.
Great. I will quickly add a little bit of clarification. You know, the regulatory language is within a port with an active FPP. So if that adds clarity to the question. And then just reiterate what Glenn said about reaching out to your local enforcement office and discussing particular circumstances is the best plan of action. And then working with your provider as well to determine whether or not an observer can feasibly be placed. And that's the only clarification I have. So back to questions for Glenn.
Actually, hey, Alex, it's Charlotte. Can I ask a clarifying question for you? I guess I just, for my own reference, what ports in 610 have a qualifying FPP? Is it just Sandpoint and King Cove? Or I guess in Accutan, or what? I guess I'm just curious if there's any other places that I'm not aware of.
So, good question. I don't have the information pulled up in front of me right now, so you're putting me on the spot.
Sorry.
You can go to the regional website, and the regional website has a list of processors for that year. I believe that list generally gets updated maybe the end of February or something like that. There's a little bit of a lag time, but if you go to the regional website and actually look that up, and there are people on the line from the region who can probably clarify that better than I. However, there is a website where you can look for those plants that are active with an FPP. And I can provide that link to Ernie and yourself at the end of this meeting.
Yeah, no worries. I was just curious if you knew off the top of your head. Thanks.
Thanks. Oh, and it looks like Krista posted the link in the chat. And I will make sure to follow up with that to an email as well for you all. Thank you, Krista. So I'm not seeing further questions, raised hands, not hearing anybody on the phone, *6. So thank you so much for providing that update and provided a perfect segue to ask for an update from Luke Szymanski and Megan Smith with AIS.
Hey, Alex. I just wanted to start off by thanking you and OLE for hosting these meetings and for inviting us. It's really helpful in helping us ensure smooth operations, so thank you. So I'm Megan Smith. For anyone who doesn't know me, I work for AIS in Kodiak. I've been with AIS and the partial coverage program since back when it started in 2013. I don't have any new information for everyone. Just wanted to remind folks to if they're planning to participate in the partial coverage program in A season, to start logging those trips in odds. You can log your trips online. You also have the option to call into our odds call center 7 days a week between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. Alaska Standard Time. Our primary number for that is the same. It's 855-747-6377. We know in the past some folks in Sandpoint have had issues with that number. So we have a backup number in case you do have trouble connecting to that number. And that number is 206-673-3338. Also, I just recommend that folks, when they're getting ready for A season, to double check some of their safety equipment. Things like E-perbs and hydrostatic releases may have expired over the winter time, and it can be tricky to get those items shipped out to places like Sandpoint and King Cove. So check those items as you're getting your boats geared up for the season so that you don't get held up at the dock waiting for those items to get shipped out. So, but that's all I have.
Great. Thank you very much. Any questions for AIS and Megan? Thank you, Megan. Perfect. Next up, I did see that from Saltwater, EM service provider, I saw both Alicia Koza online and Stacy Hansen. Let us know if you would like to provide an update.
Hi, Alex. Hi, everyone. This is Stacy Hansen. I'll start off just talking about the observer side of things at the plant and reminding people that when you are making a delivery, to please contact the observers, the plant observers who are on staff at the plants ahead of schedule. The information we're looking for is whether or not you are delivering an EM trip or a non-EM trip, and also give a hail weight and an approximate time of delivery. The plant observers will be working with the plant as to your actual offload times, but giving them a kind of a broad framework of when you're coming in would be super helpful. And this call-in system is, or check-in system is critical because it helps the observers with their sampling plan. So please make sure that you call in. I know in Sandpoint that there have been some communication problems. We'll be working with the plant to make sure that that we have a system that's set up, and WhatsApp will be the preferred communication rather than a call. WhatsApp seems to be working better than calling, and we'll work with Charlotte to get those numbers distributed to everyone. And that's all I have for that. And then I'll let Alicia talk about the EM side of things.
Thanks, Stacy. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks for that update on the observer side. And so as far as the EM side, we don't have a lot of updates at the moment. The main one is we're working with Joel Atna to get all of the VMPs approved by the end of the year. This year we use Dropbox Sign to send out all the VMPs, which have been sent to every vessel contact that we have. If you have not seen it yet, please contact me at Saltwater immediately so that we can get that out to you. Otherwise, if you have seen it in your inbox, please go ahead and get that signed and filled in before the end of the week so that we can get them all approved by the end of the year. We also have Saltwater techs out doing servicings for vessels and new installs. Currently, they're right in Kodiak, and then they plan to be in Dutch Harbor in mid-January, and then other ports as necessary around the same time. So it's crucial that if you haven't let Nick know at Saltwater of your fishing plans and where you'll be, that you do that as soon as possible so that they can accommodate your vessel servicing before the start of A season. And lastly, we're working with Charlotte directly to create the reminders flyer that we typically send out before each season, just to kind of make sure that you have all of our contact information and any of the issues that we have seen in 2023, we'll make sure to highlight just to try to go into 2024 without making those same mistakes. Yeah, that's pretty much it. This year was actually really great, and I appreciated all the effort from the vessels. So I'm looking forward to 2024.
Charlotte, I see your hand.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I just figured since we're talking about it, I'll just do an update right now. So Alicia said that, you know, we're going to send out the reminders like we do before each season. And I just wanted to let folks know that in addition to the normal reminders, I'll also be sending out kind of an updated, not updated, but a better explanation of how we are changing the EFP performance standards for trip limits and MRAs. For the last year of the EFP. For those who attended our preseason fleet meeting a few weeks ago, we talked about it briefly, but I got some questions after the meeting, or I guess there was still some confusion about how they're changing. And so, you know, just to summarize, we've adjusted the performance standards to basically account for the 24-hour go-a-trip limit rule, in the four-trip average. So anyways, I'll send out an update that shows an example of that, which might help clarify that a little bit. And I'm not going to put Colby on the spot, but I see he's on. So, like Stacy said, we've had some issues with the Observer phone and WhatsApp in the past in Sandpoint. So if for some reason you can't get a hold of anybody and you've tried all the numbers and WhatsApp, please still call the plant. I'm hoping that they'll be able to set the observers up with radio communication like they did last season. So just please make sure that even if you don't get a hold of an observer, you still communicate it to somebody, even me, because at least then I can try to get the communication fixed. But I, you know, I can't fix it if I don't know what's going on. So just wanted to add those updates real quick. I think that's it.
Thanks. Hey, Ernie. Ernie.
Yeah, I'm here, Dale.
Hey, I have a question for the saltwater people. Do you know when the tech is going to be in Sandpoint to fix cameras? My system is all screwed up.
Yeah, so for Sandpoint, they will be looking at around mid-January. Have you talked to Nick yet?
I did. I am on his list, but our crab season starts mid-January, so I don't know how long he's going to plan on staying there, but I think we need just about everything new. Nothing works. So earlier would be better than mid-January, in my opinion.
Yeah, go ahead. Absolutely. Go ahead and send us an email at Saltwater so that we have that in writing, and we will work with you to be able to service your boat.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, can I just chime in really quick before we go to Glenn? Dale, just so you know, Kylie has reached out to Nancy already, I think about maybe the 8th or the 9th. So Alicia would probably know better than me if plans had been made, but I'm pretty sure that's been communicated because we know the guys are probably going to be out by the 15th. So hopefully we'll be able to get them out to Sandpoint and King Cove kind of maybe that week.
This is Stacy from Saltwater. And yeah, those are the dates that I've heard as well. 8th, 9th, 10th is the planned target time.
Excellent. Thank you for the questions and the answers. Glenn, I see your hand is up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to add to the... when captains call observers on the on cell phones or through WhatsApp to let them know they're coming in on an EMEFP trip, what we tell the plant observers is that expect a call or expect a WhatsApp message on the supplied phone from the captain coming in from an EM EFP trip. And what we would ask is that once you pull your last net and you get that on and you start heading in, that's when you should be making that call or that contact with the observer when you pull that last net to let them know this is when I'm coming in, because that's what we tell the observers to expect timing wise. But not only that, is that if the schedule changes, you communicate that again to the observer so that they're aware the time has changed or something has been changed. That's really, really important that the observer gets that schedule change. So any changes to the initial, when you make the initial contact, if anything changes from there, contact the observer again through appropriate methods and let them know. And as Charlotte said, if you can't get a hold of the observer, you should always be contacting the plant and working with the plant as well. Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. Any questions for the general group at this point? I wanted to call attention to the chat. There's some things for folks who are on the phone. Glenn did post the observer. He posted a link to the annual deployment plan, which reiterates what he mentioned about the selection rates. And then Dale had posted a question to Sustainable Fisheries that folks might be interested in hearing the question. So the question is, are you going to have a directed bottom trawl cod fishery in the Central Gulf this winter? It looks like Krista and Mary have chimed in and mentioned that that is yet to be determined. Any further points that Krista or Mary want to make on that?
This is Krista. I don't have a further point on that one, but I other than to say that once we've made a decision, you know, we'll let folks know, you know, if it'll be open or not on January 20th. And then the other thing I just wanted to say was I've gotten a couple direct chats asking what the bee season pollock tack is for 610, and the bee season tack is 33,460 metric tons. And I think one of the other things that, you know, I'll just point out is that if nobody fished the A season, the entire A season would roll into the B season. So you would not lose any quota that way.
Thank you very much, Krista. So if there's no more questions, that will bring us to International Pacific Halibut Commission. I believe we have both Monica Tom and Kayla Uelezi on the phone, who have some updates about IPHC related material.
Hello, this is Kayla Uelezi. I'm the Setline Survey Coordinator with IPHC. Unfortunately, Monica was unable to make it, but I will try to provide a really brief update, or at least point you guys in the right direction as to where to find some information. I really would like to highlight that we will be having our 100th year annual meeting in Anchorage, January 22nd through the 26th. I can go ahead and post the link to our website for all of the details on that meeting, where you can attend in person as well as virtually. So I definitely invite everybody, particularly in the halibut industry and in the industry in general, to come and join when you can. Also, just a plug for my personal work. The 2024 Fishery Independent Setline Survey Tender Specifications will be published on the IPHC's website by this upcoming Friday, so before the Christmas holidays. And I do encourage all vessels participating in the halibut fishery to review those tender specifications and reach out to me directly if you have any questions or if you're interested in participating in the Fishery Independent Setline Survey. For 2024, we will be working throughout Alaska and going out to the Bering Sea and the Aleutians as well. So, which is generally where we see the most challenges in vessel recruitment. So I would certainly welcome anybody with any sort of interest or even questions to reach out to me. Unfortunately, Monica's not here to speak as eloquently on the commercial sampling. However, I do want to remind everybody that we do have IPHC port samplers throughout Alaska in several ports, and they will be there sampling halibut catch, as well as currently they are continuing to collect sablefish logs as well. Also, during our annual meeting, I wanted to remind everybody that Dr. Ian Stewart will be providing his presentation on the 2023 SOC assessment, and that's always a highlight of our meeting. So I encourage you all to at least chime in for that. With that, that's about all I have right now, but I'm willing to take any questions at this time. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Kayla. I'm looking to see if any hands come up. It looks like Kayla posted that 100th meeting session of the IPHC annual meeting link in the chat. Thank you very much for doing that. Okay, seeing no questions, thanks again. Really appreciate you joining. I've got a few items to cover for OLE related stuff. So a reminder for folks to get your federal fishery permits reissued. And if you participate in the state parallel fishery and do not have an LLP, make sure you check in with our office before getting a permit. To reiterate what Krista said, please make double, triple sure that your stat areas on the fish tickets are correct. With respect to electronic monitoring, and this applies both to trawl electronic monitoring and fixed gear electronic monitoring, please make sure that you are very diligent in following your particular vessel monitoring plan. New year reminder is make sure that before you're entering fisheries requiring a VMS that you are checking that with our office to ensure that it's functioning properly. I'm not sure. So last year I introduced Dan Hauser, and I think he was calling in from Dutch Harbor. So I'm going to provide him another opportunity to introduce himself. Dan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Alice. Can you hear me?
Yep. Gotcha.
Great. This is Dan Hauser. I'm a special agent with NOAA OLE, based out of Anchorage now, but I do routinely travel back to our Dutch Harbor field office. Did want to reiterate a few things, same as Alex, but Glenn did mention the importance of our odds trips and logging everything in the system. I know at this time of year with the holidays and getting everything ready for a season that it is easy to forget the 72-hour requirement to log your trips. So please be mindful of that and regulation to ensure that you are logging trips on time and prior to heading out of port. Similarly, your VMS confirmations, as Alex mentioned, this is the time of year where we do see some new units coming online. So you can call OLE at 907-586-7225 to confirm if your VMS unit is operational and OLE is receiving positions. And that is a requirement under 50 CFR 679.28, just to make sure that everyone is on board with that. Additionally, Alex clarified the tender deliveries and referenced reaching out to OLE if there is an issue. So if you do need to contact OLE, our Dutch Harbor field office number is 907-581-2061. And our Kodiak OLE field office is 907-486-3287. I will drop those numbers in the chat so everyone has a reference to them if needed. and we will hopefully get those distributed as well. That seems to be it for me.
We have Phil Knoll. Thank you very much, Dan. Not sure if we have Phil Knoll on the phone or not. I don't see you here on the list of attendees, but wanted to provide you an opportunity to say something if you're on. Okay, I think he's not on the line. So that really that does it for us as far as updates are concerned. Wanted to provide a final opportunity now that folks have the opportunity to have this many people in the room together to ask anybody, any one of us, any questions you may have. And then, of course, our phones and offices are open for follow-up. Okay, seeing none, wanted to wish all of you Happy New Year. Oh, I should mention with the new year that our office is closed on Monday the 1st. So Happy New Year to everyone and wish you guys a safe and bountiful new year. And thank you very much.
Hey, Alex.
Yes.
Sorry, just really quick. Really quick before we jump off the line, I just, for the fishermen who are on, I just wanted to let you guys know where we got some feedback from a bunch of different fishermen about kind of some of the changes in the Gulf with some of the recent news we've heard. So we're just going to help set up and facilitate a trawl fishermen's meeting in January. It'll be January 8th at 2 p.m. So we'll send out a Zoom link, and then also I'll try to work with the Sandpoint office and King Cove office to have it set up there, since I know a lot of guys will actually be in town. So just wanted to put that out there. You'll see an invite soon. And that's it. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Hey, and Alex, Ernie Weiss, again, I wanted to thank you so much and all the presenters and everybody who joined us online, a lot of experts and a lot of knowledge in the Zoom room, as it were. And a quick mention, if anybody is not winter fishing and they're in Anchorage, February 23rd to March 7th, the Board of Fish will be meeting on Upper Cook Inlet stuff for a couple weeks. And sometimes they like to take their minds off of that. And so it's a good chance to meet up with board members. So again, thanks to everybody for showing up. We really appreciate it. Again, Alex, so much. Thank you. And happy holidays to everybody.
Thank you all very much.